And I want to make sure that you know that when you share with your clients, you're really clear with them that what you're offering is education. You're evaluating them, assessing them to see where they are in their nutritional and hormonal status, and you're going to give them some educational guidance for how they can do some lifestyle and diet and supplement changes, how they can speak to their doctor if they have one about what's going on to see if they can get support. So make sure that you're really clear with people. And even if you have a medical degree or license, if you do coaching on the phone long distance, you're not working under that license, because that license is usually localized to a particular province or state, unless you've seen that person in person. So you're really coaching, whether you're a medical doctor, a health coach, a chiropractor, a physical therapist, you're coaching. And we're going to keep it that way.
We're just going to go through some of these. And we don't have all the numbers, so we're not going to be able to say exactly, but I want you to get a sense of the patterns and see what you think this person, with what stage they're in, and what do you think is going on, so, or what you would do about it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys to volunteer and just raise your hand if you'd like to be a guinea pig and just look at this one and tell me what stage you think this person's in. Okay? So who wants to do it? All right, so I'm going to call on Lynn. Well, so what? This is an easy one. So just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and do heart math. Because when you get excited or nervous about something, you put yourself in lizard brain. And lizards can't solve problems, but wizards can. Okay, so where would put this one?
So I'm thinking it's a stage one. Because you have at least one cortisol reading that's elevated.
Wait a minute. How many cortisol readings are elevated?
At least one. I'm going by the chart that you say. We don't know what the total cortisol is, and it says at least one cortisol reading is elevated.
Oh, okay, so you're reading that. But how many do you see here? Forget the book. How many elevated cortisols do you see here?
Oh, there's two of them.
There's two of them, right. And how high are the ones that are in range?
They're all really high.
They're all really high. So, yeah, this is clearly going to be stage one, yes.
Okay.
So give me some ideas about what you would do to manage this person. Like, you know, we know the nutrients. You know, we don't have to go through the nutrients. But talk to me about some herbs maybe and some bioidenticals and how you would do that. I mean, all of the stuff we're going to say is, everybody's going to be put on a stress management program. We're going to help them to get their wizard and lizard brains balanced. We're going to help them with all their nutrients. But what beyond that, what would you do here? What would you like to see happen here?
Well, so if it's beyond the nutrients, then you're going to look at some of the adrenals, I know what I'm trying to say here, the herbs.
Right.
So I guess I would tell them to do an elixir, preferably in the morning, and to look at something like the ashwagandha. Ashwagandha seems to be probably the easiest one for most people to do. Mm-hmm. And again, since you don't know all the other stuff, like if they're cold or hot or whatever, but
right,
something
right.
like cordyceps or chaga, but just to do something like that along with the other nutrients, you know, putting vitamin C powder in with their morning elixir or their smoothie.
Right.
And just all the other, you know, clean up your diet. More leafy greens.
Right.
And
what would you do? What is one herb that you can think of that's or supplement that would be really good at helping to bring down those cortisol levels?
So I would do vitamin C. That would be my first thought. Zinc comes to mind.
Okay. Are there any calming herbs or supplements that you would want to see them doing, especially in that peak in the afternoon?
So bees, the B vitamins would be really good. Magnesium and calcium.
Okay. So what about phosphatidylserine?
Well, I'm not as familiar with phosphorylated serine is the more absorbable form of phosphatidylserine, right?
Well, both of them. It depends. They both work. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not as familiar with it, so that's why I don't automatically go there.
Yeah, it's a good thing to get familiar with in cases like this. Some cases it's not as clear cut, but this is a case where this person is going to need help. Like, first of all, like, what the heck is happening between noon and four that's causing this? Do they have a super stressful job? Did they have a really high glycemic lunch and their blood sugar plummeted, so their cortisol went crazy to bring it up?
They probably have kids coming home from school and they now have to shuttle everybody off to their different activities.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So phosphorylated or phosphatidylserine, different brands, different formulations, you find what works best for a person, can help bring it down. But there's other herbs that are calming, right? What about and essential oils that they can use?
Right.
So we want to calm them.
Right. So, like your lavender or something, to have that nearby.
Right. Have them be carrying that.
You know, like you said, the chamomile would be good.
Chamomile tea, yeah. Have a nice tea break and do some chamomile. But, you know, a person like this is just clearly, like, there's a stress, big, huge stress component in their life. And really counseling them and working with them to see what the heck is going on that's causing you to be this stressed out. Those are huge. You're going to ask them, what do you think they're going to say if you ask them if they sleep well?
I'm going to say no. You're going to say, when am I supposed to sleep?
Yeah, and how am I supposed to sleep with my cortisol way up in the air?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I bet hops would be good.
Hops could be very good, yep. Yep. Again,
which
we're doing this
give
in a vacuum,
to go out
right?
And drink a, yeah.
Yeah. We don't know this person, but we're just kind of assuming some things about this person. But it's interesting, though. You can actually look at something like this and start to tell a story about what kind of things might be happening with this person, right? Because you get this picture, and oftentimes it's what shows up, right? It's definitely what shows up. So, okay, good. I'm sorry I put you on the spot, but
well,
you're thinking.
It's good. I mean, this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's good
and,
for me.
Yes, and when you're doing it with a patient, of course, or a client, you are going to be, you have prep time, right? You can pull out your notes and you can review and you'll be ready. So I'm putting you on the spot because I want you to start being able to think on your feet.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's good. I was really hoping somebody would raise their hand.
Well, they didn't, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, folks. If I can do it, you can do it.
All right, I got two more hands up, so we're going to move on to the next one, and then I'm going to see what happens. All right, so we have Simone. Hi, Simone. Thank you, Lynn.
Oh, hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I was going to volunteer for that one. I didn't think about any others. I thought, oh, well.
Do you have anything to add that we didn't already talk about on that one?
No, without referring to all the information. No, it all makes sense, you know, the calming things later in the day to bring that cortisol down at that point. Oh, and stress reduction. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to look at another one? I'll give you an opportunity.
Oh, sure. Sure. If we go to the next one, let's see. And I would say this person looks like almost like me. No. I'm going to say... that's probably a stage three.
Okay. And what makes you think they're stage three?
Well, or maybe stage two.
And again, this isn't
well,
because you're not seeing the actual numbers. So, you know, it's
right.
hard to tell what it is. So this is good that you're looking at it this way. But, yeah, you know, stage two, you know, heading towards stage three. The reason I would say
mm-hmm.
stage two is because they have that high one at night, which is going to balance with
mm-hmm.
the low one in the morning.
Right.
And then the other two are, like, in range but barely. So when you look
mm-hmm.
at the two of those, it probably would balance out. And they'd look normal.
Mm-hmm.
They look normal, but clearly they're not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Actually, I think in a way it's helpful just to look at the pattern and the relationship to sort of the norm, because like you said, when you start adding numbers up, it starts to look different than the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the pattern is really telling.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're right. Totally right. Yeah. So what would you suggest to Susie Q here with her stage 2 adrenal fatigue? And let's just assume all have low DHEA. We'll just assume they all have low DHEA because they most likely do.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely the stress reduction techniques, definitely, you know, getting the diet straight, because there could be other issues going on with the blood sugar. And the gut, but let's see. Yeah, probably working toward the bioidenticals. If the DHEA is low, that and the pregnenolone, and I'd have to look at the chart, but it's probably like maybe a drop of DHEA and maybe below 10, not much, but below 10 for the pregnenolone. I'm just guessing, but I mean, that's just my...
Fine. You look at the chart, and you can just cut the little chart out and just keep it on your desk so that when you're looking at these things,
sure.
she, you know, just look down and go, yeah, I'm going to give you this much and this much. And they think
Right. And I'm just guessing because I know I'm... You know, with my stage three, what I'm taking, so I'm kind of backing off of that a little bit. And then, let's see, in the evening, you know, the more, let's see, calming herbs, you know, the lemon balm, the hops, the Shisandra, passion flower, and I know each person responds differently to these things. I've heard, you know, some people do well with valerian, others don't.
Right.
Same with passion flower. Chamomile seems to be a relatively safe one. So there's some combination of those things. Let's see. And they're a little bit low in the morning, so maybe the B vitamins in the morning. Licorice. Let's see. Well, it would depend on their blood pressure.
Right. Good point.
And, you know, I have one of those blood pressure testing machines, but without that, you could find out what happens when they stand up, you know, from lying down or, you know, or being, like, with their head down and coming up, or the eyes not dilating with light and that sort of thing.
Right, other signs, right. You can always send them to pharmacy to stick their arm in the blood pressure cuffs, and there's a lot of stores, even some of the supermarkets have them. So,
yeah. But I have one, so it's, and it's a, just press a button and
there you go. So here you go. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of whether they start out with hypertension or say they have a tendency towards it with the licorice, I'll always have them check. Just, you know, get them on a very conservative dose. You can ease it up and always have them check your ankles, and if your ankles ever start swelling, you know, and you put your fingers into them and it doesn't come back out right away, or you start to see that your socks are leaving lines for 3 days, then there might be something going on, and check your blood pressure. So that's the kind of stuff I would always warn them about, because people like licorice, or they don't, but if they like licorice, it's very easy to go, oh, this stuff tastes good, and you just, like, instead of the 3 drops you ask them to take, or 10 drops, they're taking 3 dropperfuls. And that's when they can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Okay. Good. Good. Thank you for volunteering. That's great.
Oh, you're welcome. And this is just so helpful. I think that this particular training that I've taken with you, the cafe, and then this, is easier to kind of find your way through than, say, the digestive issues, because that is so complex.
So much.
And and even for myself, you know, I'm still playing with it, discovering things. I'm still learning, and you know that, and that's been going on for a long time. I've been eliminating, you know, like through testing a number of things, but There's still some mysteries there I'm trying to sort through.
Absolutely,
but,
and it takes time. There's going to be 2 digestion trainings this week, free stuff. One is on my radio show tomorrow, and I'm going to be interviewing Steph, who's one of our practitioners in this training, and she's like a pro at the probiotics and all the organisms in the gut, and she actually has a yogurt company up in Canada. So she's going to be doing that.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday again. So watch my email tomorrow, and we'll have a link to both of those. You can sign up for the training on Saturday, where she's going to do a presentation with me. We're going to do it on 3 ways your gut bacteria can be sabotaging your health. So it's going to be a really good
training. Oh, great.
So, yeah, check in with
great.
Her. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I saw her training she did last.
Oh, you did see it. Great.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was excellent. Very good. Yep.
Thank you.
It seemed like there might have been one more thing. Yeah, I actually, I don't know if this is appropriate to say, I heard about another product that is supposed to be really helpful for blood sugar. And I heard about it through Dr. John Gray. He's very interesting, you know, Venus Mars guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's really got it. He's had a big interest in nutrition and herbs and supplements for helping people with their relationships, because he sees how important it is for us to be physically well, to be able to, you know, and have our brain functioning well and have our hormones balanced, to be able to, you know, especially for men and women, to be able to come together in a balanced way. And, you can go to his website and find it. I could say what it is or not, whatever. But I'm looking into it because I'm definitely, you know, like getting more balanced with the blood sugar, but I still have a little bit of fluctuation there. So. And that's been another process. So anyway, this is all just amazing, you know, to be able to learn about our bodies, and, you know, they're complicated, but, you know, I think it's getting easier to kind of get things figured out. So thank you. Thank you for all that you're helping us understand.
Great. Thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for volunteering. Appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, you're welcome.
Right. So that was
Now we have Twin Cities. Is that Barbara?
That's Heather.
Heather, you know, Barbara and Heather. You know, I always say Barbara and she's, I say Heather and she says it's Barbara. And...
yeah, Barbara's in Stillwater. I'm right in Minneapolis.
Okay, got it. All right. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
You ready to get one?
I thought I would take a stab at one. I've been scouring your documents and trying to get my own program together, so I thought it would be fun to try a sample.
Okay, well, let's go for it.
Okay. I think I'm looking at the right one. My web is lagging behind the phone call a little bit, but so I'm looking at one that has very low cortisol in the morning, mm-hmm. and then two very high ones at 4 p.m. and midnight, and then one that's in the range, but sort of on the higher end of the range at noon.
Right.
So I'm guessing that this person is tired and wired, very tired, hard to get out of the bed in the morning, but then very stressed out in the afternoon and has a difficult time falling asleep at night.
I would
say that's probably stage one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She might actually be on the lower end of stage one just because of those low ones, but enough that, you know, when we classify them, we don't want to box people in, right? So she's basically at stage three in the morning and stage one in the afternoon, right? So we're going to
work
her with those two aspects of it, not just say, well, here's the protocol for stage one. No, we work with them with the individual places where they're – that's the beauty of doing the test, is that you can deal with and supplement differently at the different places in order to bring them back into balance.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
So I guess for this person, I would definitely emphasize the sleep hygiene practices,
mm-hmm.
and particularly for that morning cortisol, getting out in the sunshine in the morning and looking up the sun first thing.
Yep.
And then I would also emphasize some of the calming practices, definitely heart math in the afternoon, and calming bedtime practices. I know with Lynn, you were talking about the phosphorylated serine.
Right.
So maybe that in the evening before, and possibly in the afternoon before those high cortisols.
Yep. Yep.
And then something like herbs like the lemon balm plant in their room, or the other calming herbs like why am I blanking on the one that chamomile?
Yeah.
Chamomile tea at bedtime. So I think maybe because of the weirdness of the, is it a stage one or not, I'm not sure where I would go with the hormones. Let's see. Not knowing the DHEA, but we're just assuming that DHEA is low on all of these?
We're just assuming it's low, yeah.
So I think what I would say with bioidenticals is I would I'm actually cheating. I'm actually looking at my charts.
Okay. Open book is good. That's basically what you could, even if you're having somebody sitting across from you, you could easily have your little charts because you know what I would do when I was trying to memorize stuff and I didn't remember, I'd have the chart and I'd go, well, let me show you. Like, these are the possibilities and I'm just going to show you where you lie. You lie right here and then there it is. I've got my cheat sheet. So lots of ways to do that.
Okay, so I think I would do the I think I would start with the stage. Well, I guess the question is it important to suppress that evening cortisol? And I would start with, I think I would start with this, the stage one recommendations and do the four drops three times a day for DHEA.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. I'm gonna do a little bit of adding in. If I can read the points on the chart here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, I think I would go with the recommendations for stage two.
I think you play it safe that way if you're not sure. And in reality, you'd probably have the sum that you could add up.
Yeah, and then if we were noticing any, you know, any kind of reactions, we could shift one direction or the other.
Yeah.
I have noticed some people on the cafe calls have been having interesting reactions, especially with the pregnenolone. And so we could kind of keep our eye on that.
Right.
And go one direction or the other.
Right, absolutely.
And then maybe in the morning, if this person is needing a little bit of boost with the exhaustion, maybe morning would be a good time to do some licorice root.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And as far as any of the other adaptogens, you might want to just play around with them. And you always want to look at the indications for them and say, well, oh, wow, this person also has this. And that's what, you know, ashwagandha is good for. Or this person also has this. And maybe tulsi would be a good one for them, or maca or whatever. And you can just go with that. And it's a lot of it's experimentation, right? You try it and you see how they do. And based on what they say, you know that, oh, that was maybe a little too stimulating. Let's do something a little bit more calming, or vice versa.
Yeah, and the calming ones might be very beneficial in the mid to late afternoon, especially like the hops and passion flower.
Yep. And again, finding the cause, right? Like, just really questioning them about their habits, their lifestyle, their lunch, their boss, their kids, the kinds of things that might be creating this problem in the afternoon.
Definitely. And then targeting some heart math around those things.
Yep, absolutely. And whenever you see somebody with that high a level at midnight, you know, or whatever the time really was, but at bedtime, really looking at what are they doing, you know, when they first get home from work, and are they looking at how they can stimulate melatonin through dimming the lights and turning off the TV and getting off the cell phone and the computer and, you know, various things like that. And like someone said earlier, I think it may have been Simone said, yeah, and getting them to get out in that sunshine first thing in the morning. Get some light, and so that their pineal gland drops the melatonin and raises the cortisol so that you have more of a chance of the melatonin being in rhythm later in the day.
Well, and I'd also be really curious if this person is waking up a lot in the middle of the night and having difficulty going back to sleep. Or even if their sleep schedule, like mine was for a while, is completely flipped, and they're spending all night being up and sleeping for much of the morning.
Yep, and it can happen, and it just, you really have to work with giving the right things at the right time and the right activities at the right time to bring it back and work with flipping it back. You're right, because if you look...
And if they were in that situation, I would maybe even recommend the Reishi before bedtime, because that was very beneficial for me
mm-hmm.
in kind of rebooting my circadian rhythm.
Yep. Yeah, good point. So look, this is interesting because she's got a higher cortisol. You're rarely going to see this, a higher cortisol at bedtime than it is in the morning.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking maybe this person is completely flipped.
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe even she's there. He or she is a night shift,
yep,
like Cassandra,
yep,
and or is a swing shift or something.
Yep, could be. It could be. Yep. Yep, because this actually looks like what it would be at night, right? That peak, that 4 o'clock peak would be similar to what they would normally get at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, like
it's about
just,
that 8
yeah,
hours later, but often in their shift work. Yep, that's a good point. So these are all questions you'd ask the person, and we're just guessing, right? But when we're talking about all the possibilities, but if in reality you'd ask that person, you know, maybe that was something they never told you, and you would say, do you work shifts? Oh, how did you know? right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They think you're a
Well, and that might be where it's really helpful to know their DHEA, too. Because, I mean, if somebody's working shifts, they're just going to have, they're or working the night shift, they're just going to have an off pattern. There's not, if they need to continue working that shift,
right?
They're going to need that cortisol in the night, right? I mean, you're not going to want to try and shift it to a normal pattern. They need to maintain that work schedule.
Right. Yeah, and that's where you talk to them about really habitual and regularity of their schedule, because a lot of times when people are working shifts, they get thrown off because they try to stay up, right? They don't do the normal go to bed and sleep for 8 hours. They'll try to stay up longer, and everything gets shifted a lot when they're on those kind of patterns. And it is really good to speak with them about the importance of regularity and, if possible, to sticking to that same schedule on the weekends when they're off, which could be really hard, but, it can create an interesting social life.
Yeah, that's very difficult socially, very challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now I want to talk to this person.
Well, unfortunately, I had to make all of these just pulled out of my cases, and I'd have to go back and try to figure out who these people were. But, yeah, I had to copy them with anonymity. Anonymity. I can't say that word. Anonymity.
Anonymity.
Anonymity. Thank you.
Anonymity.
All right. Thank you, Heather. That was awesome.
That was fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We have Thomas Charles in Newark.
Uh-oh.
He's somebody completely different, right? I'm forgetting. It's
yes, it is. It's completely different. It's Lisa Lewis.
All right.
I called the cable company, and they keep telling me it's changed. And then every time I call in, it gets the wrong. It's the wrong name shows up. So I give up.
Give up. Do and just forget it. Stressing your adrenals out over.
Well, right. Can you believe it? Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I see a chart where it's in the middle of the cortisol is in the middle of the range of the first in the morning, near the lower end, late morning, early afternoon, low, and then normal in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
More normal at midnight. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess if the person is in stage, if the person's DHEA, you're assuming that it's low, or are we assuming that it's possibly normal?
I would assume it's low.
Okay. So then there's two different scenarios, because both the afternoon, the early, late morning, early afternoon, and the night are really close to the end. The end of the cycle, this person, I would say, is probably going into stage three, would be a stage two going into a stage three.
Yeah, I would agree.
Possibly.
With you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like they may be getting a pretty decent sleep because the cortisol is in the middle range, and they might be waking up with a pretty decent amount of energy, but they're starting to lose energy throughout the day. So it could be something in their life, their job, their commute. I mean, any part of their lifestyle where they're dipping could be their blood sugar, what time they're eating, breakfast and lunch, that kind of thing. So I would I haven't really heard any people using the elixirs, but the elixirs work really well, have been working really well, especially for people who would grab coffee in the morning.
Exactly.
So regardless as to whether this person's cortisol is normal in the morning, I would put them on the elixir in the morning. I would put them on the pregnenolone. Well, first I would do the pantothenic acid and the and vitamin C. And for their nutrients in the morning. I would put some of the, like, ashwagandha and different things. Ashwagandha, probably a couple of the ginsengs, try and assess and see what their blood pressure is as to whether or not we would do licorice. But I would have them kind of do that in their elixir in the morning, and then another dose maybe late morning, early afternoon. But I would really, they really need the boost. It looks like they really need the boost to get them through their work day, if this is their work day. So I would definitely make sure they take their second and third doses of their supplements earlier in the day, as opposed to like pushing it out until 6. I would probably give it to them in the morning when they wake up, late morning, and then mid-afternoon. Like 3 o'clock or so,
yeah.
Just to make sure that they don't crash on their way home, you know, not literally crash, but
yeah, well, literally, right?
Right, figuratively and literally.
Oh,
let's see. I would put them on the pregnenolone 3 times a day. This person, I would probably shift them into maybe the 12 to the 15 dose, since they're on that cusp between 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Right.
15. Yeah.
On the cusp. Yep.
15. Right.
Okay.
And then.
Like. You're right on the cusp. So if the stage 2 is 10 to 12, and then 3 is 12 to 15. And
15.
Cusp, you might want to go with the 12.
Okay. 12. Okay.
I go with the 12.
And then DHEA probably. I would probably start them with the two drops 3 times a day, or 4 drops 3 times a day. I'm trying to, well, since, because they, I guess officially they're probably stage 2, which would be more like 3 drops, right?
Two to three. I would probably start them with the 2, just because they're, yeah, and then just see how they do and maybe go up. Yeah.
Okay.
3 drops, and then they feel more tired, then you know it's suppressing the cortisol even more. So you'd want to. That's why I don't like anybody, something that's going to make them more tired. They get kind of.
Yeah.
When you do that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they look like they should be sleeping pretty well at night. Looks like they might be napping. They probably would need to nap. So try to make sure that they're taking this, and then tell them if they can. Not to nap too much in the afternoon or the evening, because that might compromise their sleep pattern. But they look like they might be sleeping pretty well. They might wake up. This might be a person that might wake up in the middle of the night, since their cortisol is, you know, pretty in a normal range. So you never know. They might be waking up in the middle of the night, earlier.
Yeah, hard to tell with this. But.
Yeah, but, you know, that would be a question that I would ask, like, how well are you sleeping? Do you wake up in the middle of the night, you know?
Yep.
Diet, I would definitely look at their diet, because this probably is, or maybe a GI blood sugar kind of issue. Shift their diet as efficiently as possible. Pull them off of, I wouldn't be doing a food allergy test at this point, because their cortisol levels are just too low. So I would just take them off of the standard, maybe top 5 or top 3, top 5, gluten, dairy, depends on what sugar for sure, and depending on what they're eating a lot of.
Exactly.
What they might be addicted to.
Right.
And I don't know. I wouldn't put them on a exercise regimen. I would tell them maybe to walk or do some yoga. But I would probably prompt them not to exercise too intensely. And I'm trying to think. And again, I would put them on. I would probably put them on like ashwagandha, Siberian or ginseng. Definitely Eleutherococcus. And then I would assess whether or not they would need licorice based on their blood pressure.
Good.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think that's great. You did a great job there. Awesome.
Thank you.
So one thing I don't know if I emphasized too much in CAFE program, but one of the things that I learned early on is something called the restorative pose. And you mentioned napping, and you get in that dichotomy of napping, like, oh, if they nap and then they're going to be wired later and they won't sleep, but they really do. It's just to take. HeartMath certainly can do it, a few minutes of meditation, but like this pose, I always found it amazing. You lay on your back and you put your feet up like the 90-degree angles, your thighs with your calves, and you're basically putting the bottom part of your legs over a chair, right? So your bent.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Back and your legs are up and then the bottom parts are on the chair. And you just lay like that, and it helps the blood circulation to come back up top. And if you can even do that for 5 minutes, the recommendation when I learned it was 15, and most people do it for 15, but and it's even. I just find it so amazing, like in rejuvenating, and helping to back. So that could be something to try.
Yeah, so they could do that as opposed to taking a nap.
When they go low,
right, okay.
They could shut their door and do that pose under their desk or something. Somebody walks in and they see their legs sitting on their chair and their body's under their desk. Okay.
Now, clearly this person has some deep stress issues. So, I would encourage them to do the heart math.
Absolutely.
To try to get rid of some of the stress that they may or may not be aware that they have. So,
right. Perfect.
Yeah.
Vitamin C, of course, is going to be really.
Oh yes.
You like this?
Yeah.
They're wiped out their stores.
Yeah.
And to have immune problems as a result. So great. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yay! I stayed up. I have to take a 6:30 flight. And I was like, I'm staying up. I'm gonna stay to the end. So.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you did. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You're a great teacher.
Thank you. Well, boy, it's getting to be late. You guys, if you're on the East Coast, are going to be needed to go. You're on the East Coast. You need to go to bed.
I know.
I think what I want to do, I don't see any more hands up. I'm going to check the questions. And then what I want to do is I'm just going to scan through to see if there's anything interesting that we haven't seen and go through it. And then I think we'll call it a night and we'll just do another call and do more of these. And if you guys have cases that you want to submit, your own or other people's, do that, and we'll do it. And Elaine, I wish I could stay, but I have to rest for tomorrow. This is so great. Good night, everybody. She left a little while ago. She's definitely on the East Coast. Ah, this is good. Dr. Lisa Lewis, how soon would you retest if the patient is following a good protocol? You know, it depends on how bad off they are here. I would say 3 to 4 months would be good, yeah. Jeff says, is that why people recommend taking a break from maca because it's a brassica, or is there another reason? You know what? In general, it's good to take a break from any particular herb that you're on and alternate them. I kind of like to get people on one set of herbs maybe, or one herb for like a month, and then switch to another one. That helps to give their body a break. But maca is it a brassica? So I'm not sure if that's the reason that people are recommending it, but I think it's a very powerful herb, and that might be why as well. Let's see one more. Steph, thank you. I've learned so much tonight. I didn't raise my hand on the phone and learned so much from the other practitioners. Great. I'm so glad that you did.
Let me see if there's anything else on the chat, and then we'll call it a night because it's kind of late, and then we'll set it up again for next time. Michelle says, is there any reason why you can't take B vitamins at the same time as C? Absolutely not. That's fine. You just don't want to take B vitamins too late, and C you can take at bedtime if you wanted to. With the exception of, like, B6 tends to be good at bedtime, although the rest of them can be too stimulating at bedtime, but B6 tends to be a precursor or a cofactor, actually, for the conversion of tryptophan to serotonin, then to melatonin. So B6 at nighttime can actually be helpful. All right. I don't see any others. Yeah, we'll just call it a night now because it is almost 10 o'clock. I just realized that, which means it's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. You guys are troopers. We'll pick up where we left off here. And also, if anybody does submit anything, I'll just do a copy-paste and put it on a slide so we can show it to you. So that would be great. And Mark, sorry we missed you, but next time call in, unless you called in now. Let's see if Mark's there. I think we're good. All right, last chance for any quick questions. Raise your hand, *2. Otherwise, we're going to call it a night, and we'll plan on getting together in another week and a half, 10 days, something like that. And I'm glad that you learned a lot. I think the more practice you get, the better. So the more you look at things and hear other people describing it, the better off. And I'd love it for next time. I'd love everybody to get a chance to actually get on and walk through one because I think you learn a lot. Plus, you get more confident when you're speaking it versus just thinking it. And that's what you're going to have to do with your patients. Looks like Santa Barbara. It says Wendy. Hello.
No, Rita Maria, it's Mark.
Oh, it's Mark. Yeah, everybody shows up with a different name. So Mark is Wendy. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. I didn't know why you couldn't see my number. It's California.
Well, I'm glad you're here. It's great.
Yeah, thank you. Me too. Thank you. Thank you very much for this and as well for hooking me up with Lynn. That was really helpful.
With who? Who did I hook you up with?
With Lynn DeBurr Johnson.
Yes, perfect.
So we had an awesome long tutorial last week, and
she
helped to clue me into the incredibly detailed website. So
good. Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm really glad. Super.
Yeah.
Did you want to do one, or you just wanted to check in? Because I just pulled up a new one. If you do want to do one, I'll give you that opportunity because I didn't see your hand up before.
Oh, if you like, I'd be happy to. There's some stuff from the call I'm familiar with, and others I'm not or much less familiar with, but happy to give it a try.
So there's one on the screen. Are you on the screen? Can you see it?
I've got a ton of tabs open, so I'm waiting for that one to come back. My computer's been responding really well this whole thing, but for some reason it's really slow now.
Interesting. While you're doing that, I'm going to just check the chat and see if there's any other questions here. No? Good. Okay, let me refresh. All right.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, I believe so. All right, so the person's so the person was very low in the morning, waiting for the graph to come back. Oh, for goodness sakes. Okay, I'll be back there again in a second. And I think was trending steadily lower during the day. Oh, and then coming up a bit at night. So would expect them to be very tired in the morning, indeed, and probably flagging and lagging throughout the day, and then either normal or slightly wired at night and having trouble going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I'm just, you know, I could be wrong about anything, but this is my impression. And so I would say that this probably represents stage 3 or 2 to 3.
Yeah, yeah.
That high at the nighttime might skew the actual total, but that low is pretty darn far below the norm. So they're probably a good solid stage three. I would, that's what I would call them. Although you're going to treat that extra, that separate point at night a little bit differently than you would the rest of the day, right?
So are you saying the midnight one there could represent the sum number or?
I'm saying that would skew, cause see, the midnight one is a little bit above the high end. Uh-huh. But the others are all enough below it that wouldn't, I think it wouldn't skew the sum and we'd still see a solid stage three. That's my thought.
Okay, yeah. So, all right, so the person is definitely very depleted, has been in this state for a good while.
Yep.
The fundamentals like stress management remains important throughout. And dietary adjustments and blood sugar regulation and all of that. But this person would need lots of herbal support. I may not be going in exactly the right order here, but certainly I'd be giving them licorice in the morning and noon and afternoon, or you know, until mid-afternoon anyway, perhaps. Ashwagandha, rhodiola, and ginseng is a combination that I'm using. I tend to use formulations from companies rather than sort of recommending that they use the herbs themselves individually because I just, you know, haven't learned that yet. But I'm sure that there are some other ones as well. The B vitamin supplementation, especially B5 and 6, and I think I forgot one there. Vitamin C, lots of it, or at least increasing it to their tolerance. The DHEA and pregnenolone, especially in the sort of tincture form or whatever, but in general, I'm not familiar with that yet, and I really, I know that would be very important here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can always look at your chart to just kind of get the right amounts, and they're going to give you the starting point, like with anything, right? A dose has always got to be customized to the person, but you use the ranges for a starting point.
Right, and again, I'm so new to the website and everything that I'm not sure where to find that. But if I can't find it, I'll contact somebody about it and get some help.
So, Mark, if you go to the side of where you're looking at the screen, the picture over to the left hand side, it says I think it just says dashboard. That would
cafe.
Take you to where all of this is, and there's a lot of nice information and charts and things like that there for you.
The cafe dashboard?
It will take you to the practitioner adrenal dashboard.
Okay.
The cafe dashboard is there too, but the other one just says dashboard, I think. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I went through that and couldn't see anything I was looking for there earlier in the presentation, and so then I just logged in through the regular INE members, and I haven't had a chance to look around.
If you look on the INE members and you go to the right-hand side, the list of the different programs, one of them is going to say PAFT, Practitioner Adrenal Fatigue Training, something like that.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And so it's navigating there now, but in terms of finding the stuff for this, is it going to be in call two or?
Stuff, you mean all these, the charts and stuff, or the slides? The slides would be under the call two, which doesn't have the video yet, obviously, because we're making it right.
Right.
But below the video, it'll say slides, and then you'll be able to click that and see these, get these copies of these slides.
Okay. All right, great. And then mushrooms were mentioned as well, and I'm not familiar with those yet in the treatment of adrenal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you mention very briefly what you'd use if you would use mushrooms?
Yeah, with the mushrooms, you know, again, you have to make sure that somebody doesn't have an allergy, a fungal allergy, or an aversion to mushrooms. But I usually use any combination of or individually chaga, reishi, and cordyceps. And they all have their own little, like, claim to fame. And people who tend to be immune compromised and have a lot of things that need to happen with their immune system support, chaga and reishi tend to be the real strong immune system people. People who have that really want that extra stamina. The cordyceps tends to give that, just helps you to push through a little bit more and really support you in doing that. And it's also good for lung and kidneys. And there's a description in those packets that describes each of them. And each individual case, you might read it and say, yeah, that sounds kind of like that person. Let me give that one a try. You can. The way I like to use the mushrooms is as elixirs or teas. So sometimes I'll just, you know, have people put some of the mushroom powders in a cup with hot water and add maybe some stevia or some vanilla or some flavorings to it and drink it that way. And in other cases, making a full-out elixir, like the recipes that I've given with a little bit of coconut or nuts or avocado to cream it up and with the herbs and stuff in there. So the mushrooms tend to go well in there as well. You can also get tinctures. There's a number of companies that make tinctures, and we've given you a lot of references to the different companies that make those things. But there's a lot of good formulas that way. Sometimes you can get a mushroom combo formula. And I think, you know, for a lot of times, if you've got somebody who's a super sensitive person, that's where you're going to do the individual things, because you don't want them to buy a whole formula and find out they can't use it because they're sensitive to one thing in it. And then people who have that more robust constitution and don't want to deal with having individual herbs and mushrooms, you can just get some nice formulas and just see which one is best for them.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Was there anything major that in the overview of treatment of this that I left out?
No, you talked about pretty much everything. I think the sleep. I would say looking at this person, they're going to need probably some extra help with sleep. They're probably going to tell you, yeah, it's hard for me to fall asleep. Once they fall asleep, they probably stay asleep. But with that high a level compared to the rest of the day, that's their highest number, is that they sleep. So they may need some things like the calming herb, the hops or the lemon balm or things like that, or a sleep formula if you like to use formulas. Gaia has a nice sleep kind of rest and sleep formula. But you also might look at phosphatidylserine to actually bring that cortisol down. It's iffy with people with, in this situation, I would just, like, play it by ear. If that person says that they have a lot of memory, a lot of short-term memory loss, and they have that high cortisol at night, I might consider the phosphatidylserine, because phosphatidylserine also helps to repair the hippocampus. So it helps them with the memory.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for getting on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you again.
All right.